It is good to see you guys. I missed you last week. We were at a retreat. But today is a day I've been looking forward to for a second now, because he has risen and we have been looking at all the signs of Jesus throughout John, and all of the signs point to this. Every single sign points to this reality that the tomb is empty and Jesus is king. And so we have been hoping for this moment, hoping for this moment that has already happened, but we look forward to it again and again. That the tomb is empty and that Jesus is king. And all of the signs, water to wine, lame and blind men walking, Lazarus walking out of the grave, the fish and the loaves being spread, and Jesus walking on the water, all of the signs point to this empty tomb. And when the tomb is empty, and the throne is occupied by the king, we are confident of our salvation, of our hope. Not just the hope that Jesus is alive, but the hope that we too will live, that death will not conquer us, that sin will not reign over us, that sin has been conquered, death has been defeated, and division has been defeated and replaced with unity because of the king on his throne. So it's this day that the signs have been pointing. But something weird we do is we pay attention to the miracles sometimes, like they're not signs, but that they are the end themselves. That they point us to the good news. The miracles themselves are not the good news. The miracles themselves are signs. There's a sign on the way to my house that I have celebrated for the past couple of weeks. It says, Texas 69 bridge open. I don't know if you know this, but we live in Flint. And one of the ways to get to our house, you can go down Old Jacksonville or Old. Every street in this town tells you where it used to go. Take Old Bullard. Does that go to Bullard? Not anymore. There's a new Bullard. I don't know if it's an old Bullard street or there used to be a town called Old Bullard. We go down Jacksonville Highway, US 69, Texas, I don't know what it's called, 69. And for the longest time, they were working on this bridge. Now, apparently, it's been longer than we've lived there since December. And all of our hair was pulled out because of it. But apparently, they've been working on this bridge for about a millennia. And instead of getting to go over 346, you got to go to a stoplight. And the stoplight heading south was only green on Tuesday. You couldn't go through it any other time. Just rotated every day, and it was just it would take me a long, like 15 minutes to get home from Super One because I was sitting in that line. And then they open the bridge, and I get to just fly right over 346, and it takes me 7 minutes to get home. And the other day, we were so happy about this bridge. The other day, I was driving over the bridge, and I thought, if an asteroid came down and destroyed this bridge and me, what would Rachel grieve more? And I ran this by her, and she said, well, it would take longer to replace the bridge. It And she meant it. But whether that sign was there or not, whether that digital sign that said US 69 bridge open was there or not, it would have nothing to do with the fact that the bridge is there. What would be crazy if I told you about that and you tried to turn it into a metaphor? If you tried to then say, oh, well, oh, my goodness, that must mean a lot for your life. The bridge to your heart is open. Like, no, that's not what that means. It means I get home faster. There's a very practical thing, this thing in history that happened has very practical applications on my life. The bridge was fixed. I get home faster. That's what it means. We do this with the resurrection. Jesus is alive in your heart. He's alive, like full blood alive. And because we follow him, we too will not stay in the grave. We will be alive too. This has very practical applications on our life, that we will walk again, that death is not the end of our story. The world needs hope. The world needs to see that not just Jesus is alive in our hearts, that Jesus is actually alive, and our resurrection hangs on that. That we will, that the grave will not hold us, because it couldn't hold him. That was him knocking on the tomb. There, we have a real hope that we find in Jesus. And it's not a metaphor. This was a metaphor. This was a sign. It points to Jesus's and our resurrection. But it points to a very real thing. Ben and Allie did not actually die in there. Although it was so cold, we were close. I thought, this is going to be the first time we have a baptism and then the three of us just die of hypothermia in the back. I'm still cold on my feet. I haven't shaken it. I'm sweating up top, cold on my feet. I'm disoriented. But we have a hope. Like a real hope, the thing this points to is an actuality. And there's so many other things in our lives that point to different things. The things that this overcomes, that the resurrection overcomes, there's so much that's pointing to something else. And I don't know about you, but I'm with Mary here. You heard the story running up to it. Disciples come up. They look in. They leave. But Mary stays. And let's read on there. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Angels can ask some serious, not bright questions sometimes, it feels like. Remember that time Jesus flew off into the sky and an angel showed up and said, "Why are you looking into the sky?" Well, because a man just flew into the sky. That feels like a pretty obvious answer. Why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away. She said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. I, over this past year, from Easter of 2020 to Easter of 2021, have felt so many times like Mary, that in my grief, I could not recognize the Savior. There are so many things that commentaries say here about why she couldn't see Jesus. But I feel like she was crying. Have you ever been able to see something while you were weeping? Not very well. Blurry eyes, we call it in my family. And I have been there this year. Have you? Grief to the point of not being able to recognize the Savior when he's standing right next to you. But he still calls your name. "I don't know what has happened," Mary says, "but the risen Savior stands next to her and says, 'Why are you crying?' And she says, 'If you can help me fix this, just bring the body back.'" And he calls her name. And she clings to him. Mary went from, on Easter Sunday, Mary went from searching for a sign to being the sign that points back to the resurrected Savior. Because she heard the call of Jesus. She heard Jesus say, "Mary." I was part of a singing school. I don't think it was the year I was there, but it was the year I came back with a youth group or something. I don't know if you were there at that time, but they had a play with this scene. And Mary's weeping. And it just happened to be the biggest, blondest, whitest dude that we found to play Jesus. And he was baritone, and he came out and he said, "Mary." And she really, I don't know if he did it that way. Sometimes he calls us not in big, bold ways, but those whispers to remind us that we are alive and we will stay alive because he is alive. And that the death and brokenness of this world is not the end. It does not have the final say. Maybe you're there now. Maybe you're still there now, that the Savior is hard to see through the sadness. He still calls your name. You can still cling to him. And you can still be the sign in this world. The sign that goes out to the restaurants, that goes out to the grocery stores, to the workplaces, and points back to a risen Savior. Points back to and says, "I have seen the Lord. He is alive." It is commonplace on Easter to say to one another, "He is risen." I get text messages from my minister friends, "He is risen," on Easter. Did you know on Thursday of this week, he is risen? June 17th, I don't know if that's anybody's birthday. August 4th, September 23rd, he is risen. He calls your name. And we need this reminder. I need this reminder this day. I need this reminder. But I need to be reminded not of the metaphor, not of the beautiful story. I need to be reminded of the actuality of the resurrection of Jesus. Because I need to know that when I cling to him, the death of my loved ones, the death of my relationships, the brokenness of this world, they are all conquered by the one to whom I cling. Let's pray. Holy Lord, you above all else are good. You above all else are worthy of our praise. May we point to you. May we always be the type of people who are clinging to you, God. And there will be times. There will be times that we don't recognize your call. We don't recognize your presence. We feel alone. There will be times we think you're the gardener. Father, call our name in those moments. Draw us near in those moments. Give us a song to sing, a praise to you in those moments. And fill us with your Spirit so that we can go into the world and be a sign pointing back to the resurrected King. It's in your Son's holy name that we pray. Amen.